Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Hospice News Elevate podcast. I'm Holly Vossel, senior reporter for Hospice News. In this episode, we'll be talking about the challenges that hospices are facing as more artificial intelligence comes to fruition, particularly AI tools that assist with clinical documentation. We'll be discussing some of the regulatory nuances and red flag compliance issues as AI technologies quickly evolve. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Haas, a hospice and palliative care physician. Dr. Haas is the National Medical Director at Ascend Hospice and CEO at the post-acute care company Wellspring Healthcare. Drawing on his years of experience working alongside interdisciplinary hospice teams, he founded the artificial intelligence documentation platform called Hospice Intelligence. The AI-powered platform is designed to help strengthen documentation in areas such as eligibility criteria and certification documentation, as well as help to reduce hospices' audit risks and improve their workflow efficiency. Prior to recording this podcast, Dr. Haas told Hospice News that he is passionate about using technology thoughtfully to support clinicians while preserving the compassion, clinical judgment that define hospice care delivery. And now, let's begin our journey into today's topic. All right, our episode today is about the, quote, labyrinth of AI innovation and hospice regulation. We are diving right into this with a huge thanks to Dr. Brian Haas. Hospice News is so thrilled to have you with us for this topic. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Holly. I'm really pleased to be able to share my voice today. This is great.
Yeah. I think first we can just give our listeners some of your background in hospice and palliative care, perhaps, you know, what led you to launch your own hospice AI documentation platform, and also maybe your background in the space.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, I'm a practicing physician, so I am right there in the trenches with all of our IDT teams on an ongoing basis. And so one of the things that I noticed as a medical director was I'm downstream of every nurse note, because hospice is uniquely a nurse-driven specialty. I don't see every patient every day or every time. And so it's a lot different than my previous types of roles, right? So as an internist, I would see my patients, I would write my note. And, you know, those types of notes are well served for an ambient scribe, for instance. These are some of the more common types of tools that I think are trying to be ported into hospice. And how can these things help to craft the nurse note for them? But what I would notice as a hospice medical director being downstream was that sometimes my nurses, as they would document some of the clinical findings, they just weren't necessarily grabbing all of them or all of the ones that they could to really strengthen the note. And I attributed a lot of this just to the cognitive load that they're dealing with. Like, they're doing a home visit for one. They are being called multiple times about other decompensating patients, right? And they're having to juggle and manage all of these different types of things. And when it comes down to writing a recertification note saying that this patient has resting tachycardia with underlying COPD, when that's a common finding for them on a day-to-day basis, it may be missed. Yeah. But yet that's a valuable piece of information that Medicare and the Medicare contractors, the auditing contractors, like to see. And so they're looking for that that detail, and we weren't necessarily capturing it every time. And so I would look and I would see these patients that are having these, but I'm like, how do we improve that? Not only are we improving our note quality at that point, but how am I educating my nursing staff? And around the same time, we went through an audit at one of the agencies, and I started going through this auditing process and really seeing that the auditor is not clinically driven. They're usually a non-clinical professional, and they're looking at this note and they're looking for keywords. And if we don't give them the keywords that they're looking for, then they might perceive a note as not adequate as it could be. And I did think that there was opportunity to really improve that as well, too. So That's what we did. And I looked around for other tools that we could use. And unfortunately, I couldn't find one that would do what I was looking for it to do. I wanted a real-time auditor. I wanted a way to be able to trigger nurses to look for criteria that were already there, that they could just needed to, they just needed help capturing, they needed help pulling it out. And I could do that in IDT, but usually by the time we get to IDT, it's already a little late, right? And we want them to be able to present that note to me beforehand, and I wanted it to be able to scale as well too. So my agency is large. We have 6 part-time medical directors that are all helping to take care of patients. So how do we improve this for the entire agency, not just the 200 plus patients that I'm taking care of, right? So that was what really started Hospice Intelligence. And I decided I have an interest in coding and background and that sort of stuff. And so I piloted it, I created the product. And then really, once it started to take off, I had a developer come in to really help me to take it to the next level where it is now. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that story and your experiences. I think that it kind of highlights a lot of the things that we're going to be discussing today as far as some of the things that our other hospices are noticing and some of the nuances that, you know, there are AI documentation tools, but are they nuanced around that hospice-specific regulatory environment? And it sort of sounds like, forgive the pun, but you built it so that the regulators wouldn't come, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that this leads to a really good question that as far as what you think the important trends for hospices are to understand in relation to AI documentation tools and what that scope is out there right now.
Sure. No, so I definitely think that there's a lot of burgeoning trends right now. AI is the hot topic. Everyone is looking about, how do I deploy AI? How do we use AI? How do we harness this? I think many people recognize that it is an extremely valuable tool, but we're still so early in the AI era that how do we capture that and how do we deploy it? And especially in healthcare, there's so many other regulatory processes that we have to be careful of, especially HIPAA, high tech, all of these other underlying processes, you know, I think that that's a real, real big, important thing to be thinking about. So I do know that like trend number one is that it is what hospice agencies are wanting to try and spend money on. They know that this is something that they need to do, and it's a top investment priority. So it's a top investment priority because I think it opens them up for the greatest operational vulnerability, right? So you're giving them the opportunity to take your sensitive patient data and use that, and how is that data going to be used, and how is it going to be modulated, and how is it going to help improve your clinician workload, right? Because I think that that's a really important factor as a physician who's been practicing for a number of years. Now, I started my practice when we were still on paper charts. So I've gone through this whole continuum of having to write individual handwritten notes, handwritten orders to physician order entry. And then we went from physician order entry to writing notes in the computer. And then everything became computerized throughout the course of my career. And I've found so many times that those iterations, every time something changed, didn't necessarily have the clinician in mind. And so when I was writing something, an AI program to help clinicians, nurses, and physicians, I wanted it to be something that would be so seamless with their underlying understanding of their clinical workload, right? So how would it just seamlessly fall into that process? And so I think that's something that AI, any company that's pursuing an AI initiative, because it's such a big trend right now, needs to be thinking about. I think the next trend that I really think about is the different modules or types of AI that there are. And the most common, and I think the one that is trying to be ported into hospice the most, is this ambient scribe. So for those people that aren't familiar with what an ambient scribe is, scribe meaning someone that just dictates and takes notes and things of that nature. But the ambient process is that you have a device, whether it's a phone, a tablet, a computer, that's listening to the conversation in the background. And there are a number of these. I really enjoy my ambient scribe for my clinical work. However, when I come down to hospice perspective, there's no way that that ambient scribe is going to work in my hospice workflow. And I think that's the problem, because you have these different products that are out there, and I'm not going to name specific names for you. Most people know what an ambient scribe is, but you know, in a hospice visit, we're not in a controlled environment like an office setting or a hospital room. We are in usually a living room where a television is on. There's a caregiver talking, a dog barking. You know, the patient may have limited verbal capacity. And so they're not talking about things in a soap note style process, which is what these notes are, or these ambient scribes are designed to do. They're designed to identify subjective, objective findings, assessments, and plans. And that's just not how our hospice workflow works. And so it's really challenging, I think, to take something like that and try and port it into hospice. So I think that's one of the things that agencies need to be very aware of, is how is this going to fit into my underlying workflow? I think the next thing that I really think is important for hospice agencies to think about is, in general, healthcare, we're slow adopters of technology. I mean, for crying out loud, we still use fax machines, right? You know, and I think that we have, hospice as a whole has a real opportunity here to use artificial intelligence as a stepping stone. I hope that this is something that is going to encourage agencies, the industry as a whole, to really start to adopt more technology. Because I think, because unfortunately of the hesitancy of technology adoption, the regulation, et cetera, I think that kind of makes people hesitant. But I think the excitement around AI might help people to leapfrog those hesitancies and really kind of get into that. But I think that also leads to the process of, are we leapfrogging into what we need and what we really want? And so I think that, you know, making sure that we're identifying what it is that the agency wants to fix. And I think that the easiest and most appropriate place, of course, is where I started, which is in documentation and compliance. And that really allows the nurse to kind of be the leader of that process, because those hospice nurses, those nurse case managers, are out there on the front lines. They're the ones that are getting clinically taxed and being asked to do more with less every day, every month, every year. That has always been the general rule. And so we want to make sure that we're providing them tools that aren't making it harder for them to do their job, and in fact are easier for them to do their job. Now, every technology has its learning curve, of course, but I think that that's just something that we really need to be thinking about.
Yeah. I think I've heard like very similar trends be kind of echoed by other hospice providers and in those front lines and at the bedside, say, you know, these documentation tools should, you know, increase our efficiency, but not take us away from the bedside or not kind of bog it down. But also, documentation errors are among one of those biggest sort of regulatory red flags, right? So in the hospice space. And I wanted to kind of explore what those, some of the red flags that, you know, providers should be looking for in AI innovation documentation tools that are kind of taking shape, in ways that they can avoid those or detect them. And just an example of some of the things I've heard so far when I've asked this question, I've heard things like, have a look out for things like data transparency, but privacy around how those systems are being used and how those tools are kind of synthesizing that information. So that's one example I can think of, but I'm sure you have others on the other side from both the clinical and kind of innovator space. So what would you say are those like sort of AI red flags of innovation so far?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that I think about is, and we've kind of already talked about this, is any technology that adds complexity rather than reducing the complexity. Because yes, you may need to use another tool, and that's okay, but that tool shouldn't add complexity. It should be a very easy workflow, simple for you to use. And I think sometimes that can become very challenging. You know, In terms of those processes. I think another thing that's really important is, and you mentioned it about data security, and I think it's huge in that regard, is really we have a very unique situation here in terms of generative AI. So generative AI is when your LLM or your large language model, your artificial intelligence module, takes information and then writes everything for you without any human input. And I think that that's something that you have to be very careful about. So before doing all of this process, I took a class through MIT on healthcare and artificial intelligence. And it was a really valuable class that I really immensely enjoyed. But one of the key hallmarks of this is that we need to have a human in the loop. And I think that as a general whole, that's such an important piece to make sure that we're always having that nurse or that physician, that clinician being at the center and inside of that loop. And it's perfectly fine to have artificial intelligence clean up your note, edit your note, right? Audit your note, right? Ask you questions about the note, but it should ultimately be your note. And I think that that's an important caveat to this as well too. And so sometimes I think that that's missed because we look at AI as like, oh, how is it going to solve all of our problems? Or how is it going to, you know, fix this? I want it to write my note for me. And it can do a good job of helping you to write your note, but to literally go and pull information from one data source and then create a node and then you edit the note, that kind of turns into a different situation because now it's no longer your note, it is the AI's note that you're editing. And so I think that those are some interesting things that you could, you know, again, not to sound anti-AI because I'm very AI prone, but we want to make sure that we're doing that. I think the other red flag, of course, from a hospice perspective, and we've touched on this a little bit as well too, is the aspect of LCDs. LCDs, or local coverage determinants, are at the core of every hospice eligibility and certification. And if we don't have something that's helping us to capture those LCD criteria, then I feel like this is a less beneficial or useful tool. And that's really what I built mine around. So most hospice agencies out there, they give every new hospice nurse, they give them a book and it has all of the LCD criteria in it. And they can go open that book and they can flip to the right page and they can say, all right, heart failure has XYZ LCD criteria. And they're supposed to add that to their information. But what I found is that hospice nurses are busy. Hospice physicians are busy. And so the extra time that it takes to open that book, to read through it, to take the cognitive load of now saying, all right, how am I going to document to that? How am I going to document to that? Becomes very challenging. And so that again is a tool, but it added complexity. So my very first red flag was don't add complexity to it, right? So we want to take something that's very simple to use and make it so that the nurse or the user is able to very rapidly deploy that and it helps them in their process while educating them at the same time. I think that's another factor, right? Like all of us need to be being educated on an ongoing basis. So,
yeah. Well, I think that that education on an ongoing basis, just as a reporter in this space, like I'm always learning something new about a quality measure or a quality tool or a quality requirement. And just some of those things that even hospices have to keep up with and keep their finger on the pulse on. So I think that one of those things that has kind of come up is, you know, ways to really make sure you're not just compliant, but you're quality. And when I hear those topics being discussed around AI, to your point that that humans are a necessary part of overseeing whatever that is, that this AI is supposed to sort of augment and help, not create those complexities that you just mentioned, because what's really key is sort of, and that was one of the questions that I was asking for you is, you know, what you think is key to building these AI tools that help safeguard against any program integrity issues or compliance challenges, because mm-hmm. we are in this kind of climate where there has been increased regulatory oversight in the past few years. So how do you really build those AI tools with those things in mind?
I think it's a really good question, and it's one that I've been thinking about a lot, Holly, because I think it was from one of your hospice news articles recently that I read that there was, I think it was the state of California, recently shut down like 280 hospice agencies due to fraud or something in that neighborhood. I'm not quoting it specifically.
I've been following that along, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is that's such a shame, right? Because that was some bad actors that have created now increased scrutiny, in my opinion. And without having any logical information other than just my common sense, it seems to me that when the Office of the Inspector General hears that there were 280 hospice agencies that were acting poorly out of these 6,000 some odd hospice agencies across the country, that there is going to be increased scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And so I feel, without a shadow of a doubt, that there are going to be substantially increased TPE audits, ADRs. These things are going to be coming. And so this is the opportunity that every hospice agency has right now, is to make sure that you're preparing to have appropriate compliance and safeguards, right? And that's where I think it's so important to make sure that the AI tool that your team decides to deploy is in fact hospice specific enough that it's going to be able to help you to capture those LCD criteria. Because anytime I've ever done an advocate law review and stood in front of a judge and all those types of things, you have to make sure that you're bringing it back to the LCD criteria. And that's the one thing that I find so often that isn't there in a tool that I've seen or reviewed. And that's, again, why I wanted to make sure that I created something that was specific to those LCDs. So my tool is extremely narrow focused, right? It's a very niche product. And it's specifically designed to be able to help ease that burden and ease that workload. And so I think that, again, you have this opportunity as a hospice agency to safeguard against these integrity issues, right? Because if your nurses are... They're tired, they're working hard, they're seeing 6 to 8 visits a day, and they're trying to do their documentation on top of that, it's very common that I would imagine they're not going to capture as many LCD criteria as they could in their notes, because they're busy trying to go from one patient to the next. So if you can use an AI tool that's going to help you to be diagnosis specific, disease specific, and LCD focused, that's going to dramatically improve and safeguard your team, right? Because you're educating your nurse along the way, you're helping your nurse to offload their work burden, and you're protecting yourself so that when you do get that ADR, which you're going to get, I know it without a shadow of a doubt, you're gonna get it. And when you do, hopefully you'll have used a tool, whatever tool that is, that it's going to be specific to helping you to say, no, we captured those LCD criteria, and I can show you exactly the LCD criteria that we used. And I think that's the other thing, is that so often we underestimate the amount of work that an agency takes in order to answer an audit. I mean, the literature that I've read says that on average, it's over 200 man hours in order to prepare an audit defense. And so what better defense, you know, do we have than a great offense? So the great offense is capturing all of the great work that your clinicians are already doing, you know, and then preserving them as the author, I think, is a really important factor. And then I've said this a few times now, but I really do feel too that your tool should help to educate. Because I think that, again, if you just look at AI as something that's always running in the background and catching mistakes and fixing mistakes and doing this, but it's not giving feedback back to the clinician, then how are you ever going to have your clinician improve, right? Mm-hmm. If we're using it as a crutch, or we're using it as a way to just say, well, just fix it for me, AI, just fix it for me. Well, I don't want AI to fix it for me. Well, yeah, let me take that back. I do want AI to fix it, but I also want AI to help me to capture some of those extra criteria and then teach me, so that then that way I'm like, oh, when I have a COPD patient and I see that they have resting tachycardia, that in and of itself is an additional LCD criteria. And I found that because my note was audited in real time. Of course, my patient, I've seen that there are always 105 beats per minute sitting in a chair. Let me add that into my note. And I think that those are the things that are really important for all agencies to continue to safeguard their integrity and compliance issues, because these audits are going to get, they're going to get bigger, and they're going to get more aggressive. You're going to see more clawbacks. And that's where I really feel that an agency needs to look at these AI processes in regards to what is my return on investment. And sometimes these are really hard to garner, right? Because what is the actual return on investment? Right? My tool hasn't been out long enough for me to be able to say we've protected so many agencies from this many, you know, thousands of dollars. But I know that the more LCD criteria we capture, the less likely those notes are to fail an audit, right? So it just makes sense that we want to capture as many of them as are available. And I think that, you know, teaching of your staff and minimizing the number of hours that you spend on an audit preparation, these are all valuable things, but they're hard to quantify in terms of a definitive return on investment. But I hope that, again, coming back to something that we started at the very beginning, when you have an agency that's thinking about AI and saying, we want to capture this, we want to use this, they're starting to look at those ROIs in terms of a less strict ROI and much more of a, I think this is going to generally improve our overall agency and improve our throughput, improve our nursing staff, improve our retention, and make it so that everyone feels much better about doing their jobs as an overall whole.
Yeah. I mean, I think that hospices these days, there are hospices that are facing multiple types of different audits, like those TPE targeted probes that you send, but also UPICs, MACs, like the alphabet soup of audits. And to, you know, you mentioned having spent, a couple hundred hours on this. Well, that is your ROI if your words of like your best defense and the offense comment, that was really important, I think, to highlight that is your ROI. If you're not spending that amount of money on clinical hours there, what's the also ROI of, you know, clinical staff satisfaction and exactly. More time at the bedside with patients and families and their satisfaction. So the quality kind of points are all sort of connected in that AI web there. So what I think I would like to end on is a sort of this, you know, future crystal ball question about what you think the future has in store for hospices when it comes to leveraging AI technology and improving, you know, more sound, solid sure. documentation and any other impacts that you can think of as well.
No, absolutely. I really appreciate it, Holly. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with all of these questions. It's just very clearly your questions were well thought out in the future. So I do appreciate
thank
that.
You.
But definitely, you know, I think the future has in store for hospices. In every hospice, if you're not leveraging this technology, you're definitely going to be left behind. You know, talking about those ROIs, I mean, a single audit on one patient, if you passed everything else out of the 10 or 20 that they did, but you failed one, I mean, you're looking at upwards of $20,000 plus. And so these are very expensive mistakes to make. And so I definitely think hospice have the opportunity to employ these. And I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see more and more of these real-time audit compliance processes. And I think that gives you opportunity to really give pause and make sure that this is appropriately done and has been vetted by a clinician. Because I think that that's one of the criticism that I'd always heard as a clinician about all of the EMRs that we worked with is it's like, well, this was written by a computer programmer. It wasn't written by a doc for a doc. And so I think that was one of the things that I really wanted to fix was like, it's going to think and work like a physician does or work like a nurse does as well. But I do think that artificial intelligence has a lot of these opportunities to educate, to train, to improve our documentation, to edit our documentation, right? A lot of our nursing staff, you know, they didn't go to school to become an author and to clearly paint a elaborate picture of decline. They went to school and they were very appropriately trained on how to identify diagnosis specific information. They are pulling out specific variables. But to now take that information and to weave it into a story, that's where maybe they need a little bit of help. And I think that's where AI can help them with those types of things, while educating them at the same time, while protecting your opportunity, your agency's opportunity to not collect those other aspects. I do think the documentation is going to become your measurable competitive advantage in the future. I think that, again, going back to those, the Inspector General investigation, the 280 hospices, that's going to increase auditing without a question. I mean, hospice has grown so dramatically and is again projected to grow even greater. I think the last time I looked, we bill something like $29 billion to Medicare per year, I think is the statistic. That is a lot of money. And $29 billion certainly starts to turn some heads. And so we want to make sure that when you are one of the agencies, that if you're audited, you're going to be as protected as you can possibly be protected, right? No one's going to ever be able to guarantee 100% of the time that you pass every single audit, because these are very subjective pieces, right? But at the same time, the more you can document appropriately and well, and in the shortest amount of time, I think that's a huge factor. You know, when I was writing the program and we were doing these audits, I would ask hospice nurses, case managers, I would say, how long are you spending to write a recertification note? And the responses varied, of course, like you would expect anyone to vary, but it would go somewhere between 30 minutes to as many as an hour and a half writing a single recertification note. And a lot of that tends to be, you know, how detailed someone wants to be in that regard. But when you start to employ technology, you can now recapture, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes of time. I've had some hospice nurses that tell me using hospice intelligence reduces their time to documentation by 2/3. That's a huge savings for someone. And I think that, again, that's going to become your competitive advantage, because if you're in a competitive hospice market and nurses have the opportunity to work somewhere that uses AI and somewhere that doesn't use AI, I would be willing to guarantee that they are going to probably go towards the hospice that uses AI to improve their underlying clinical workflow. Now, as long as that clinical workflow is in a positive manner, right? Because I think it could also work the opposite way for you if it doesn't, right? Because if it's something that is more challenging, it's hard to use, you have to use this step and then this step and then this step, well then that's not going to be very beneficial for you. And so that nurse might want to go to another agency instead of using yours, despite the fact that you use AI, because it's like, I'm faster doing it my way because this takes so much time. But I do think that again, it's starting to develop technology and to adopt technology, and technology is going to continue to evolve, right? I think decline tracking is the next thing. That's what we're working on currently with Hospice Intelligence, is really trying to show that decline tracking. And that's a really hard thing to do, Holly. You know, to show how we're declining, what are we missing in terms of that decline, and then still keeping the LCDs at the core aspect of it. But it's something that we're going to fix, and we're going to solve that problem as well too. And I think that's just what we're going to see more and more of as time goes on. Not just Hospice Intelligence, but other companies are going to come down the road and are going to try and do the same type of thing as well too. That, again, I think that's a positive all the way around, because I want our hospice nurses. Hospice is such a valuable asset to our Medicare population that is paid into Medicare their entire life. And this is part of their benefit. And I want everyone that is eligible for this benefit to use this benefit, because I've seen so many beautiful deaths. And that's sometimes a very, I know I'm speaking to the right audience here, but sometimes can be a significant oxymoron, but a beautiful death that's free of pain, that's free of suffering, that is calm and peaceful. And hospice helps people to do that. And I want people to focus on those aspects and not focus on the documentation. Although the documentation is the financial engine that runs the hospice agency so that we can continue to provide the quality care that we do. So it's really, I think, an incredible opportunity that we have. But I really think that over the next 5 years, we're going to see more and more of this clinical adoption. We have to. Otherwise, I think we're just going to fall behind even further. And I want hospice to move forward into the future and help lead the way in that technology and maybe get rid of faxes along the way as well.
Well, at least the annoying sound that faxes make.
Exactly.
You can answer a different calling, right? I think, Brian, that's a great final note to wrap up on. I wanted to really thank you for your time and your perspective today. Thank you so much for sharing both.
Thank you so much, Holly. I really appreciate it. This has been an absolute pleasure and a great joy. And I'm very honored to be here today. Thank you so much.
Well, that wraps up this Hospice News Elevate podcast. A note before we go that our podcasts are possible thanks to those in the field willing to share their perspectives. Let us know if you or others are interested in participating or sponsoring an upcoming podcast episode by reaching out to us at editor@hospicenews.com. Once again, I'm Holly Vossel, Senior Reporter for Hospice News, a WTWH media company. Thanks for listening to today's Elevate podcast, and stay tuned for more episodes. Take care for now.